The next Navi in Treyasar is Ovadia, who has a nevuah that's very short, just one perek long, as part of Treyasar. Ovadia lived during the time of Eliyahu HaNavi. He was a disciple of Eliyahu HaNavi. And at the same time, he was also in charge of the household of the wicked king Ahav, who we discussed in great detail back when we did Sefer Melachim. Ovadia was a righteous man, so King Ahav's kitchen was always 100% glatt kosher. But he used, or maybe Ahav would have said abused, his high office and his unimpeachable character as a way to save lives, because Ahav had decreed that all of the true Nevi'ei Hashem should be massacred, should be put to death for daring to say the actual word of God at a time when Malchus Yisrael was more sinful than ever. But at great personal risk, Ovadia saved the lives of at least 100 Nevi'im, 50 of them in one cave and 50 of them in another, providing them with all the sustenance they needed to survive. And we know some of this from afterwards, when Ovadia died somewhat early and his widow came to Elisha begging for help to redeem her two sons from being enslaved by the mortgage holders in debt. Almost that Elisha owed Ovadia this courtesy, which he did, to save their family. Now, Ovadia was also, Chazal tell us, a descendant of Edom. And so it was exactly appropriate for the great nevuah of what was going to happen to Edom, to Esav, in the future, to come from someone who himself was the seed of Edom and knew the truth about what they were all about. So Pasuk Aleph begins, Chazon Ovadia. This is the prophecy, this is the vision of Ovadia. Ko amar Hashem Elokim le'Edom. This is what Hashem, the Lord God, says to Edom. Shemua shamanu me'es Hashem. We have heard tidings, we have heard important news from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tzir bagoyim shulach. And a messenger has been sent among the nations. Kumu v'nakuma aleha la melchama. Arise and let rise up against them, against Edom, in war. So this perek is also the haftorah that we learn for Parshas Vayishlach. There are different customs. Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Taimonim sometimes, who lain different haftorahs to different parshios. Some of those even go all the way back to the days when Bavel would do one haftorah and Eretz Yisrael would do another. And Vayishlach is one that comes up early, and it's the haftorah of Edom, of Esav, because Vayishlach is the last meeting, the final confrontation between Yaakov and Esav together that they would ever have in life. Esav himself, according to Medrash, tried to prevent the family of Yaakov from burying him in Ma'aras HaMachpelah, still battling against what he considered his stolen birthright. And there are different versions of what happened. There was an outright war, there was violence. Chushim, the deaf son of Dun, according to some, decapitated Esav, and his head bounced right into Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So conflicts between Esav and Yaakov, confrontations between Esav and Yaakov, happened their whole lives and ever afterwards. And now the nations are going to say that they've heard tidings from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if a messenger had been sent that we should rise up against Edom. Edom is often seen as Rome in an embodiment in somewhat more modern history from 2,000 years ago. Dr. Mendel Hirsch says that in rabbinic writings, Edom became a term of contempt for the Romans. History gives us no information concerning racial descent. A vague mythical folklore history is spread about not only the founding of Rome, but the first centuries of its existence. But we see that the forces and principles that come to light in the history of Rome are very much those of Esav. Rome built up its gigantic empire to such an unparalleled size, we can easily find here the grandest realization of the Esav-Edomite principles. A hunter not only with bow and arrow, but with his mouth. Military bravery, yes, but also internal depravity and a lack of morals, as befits somebody who lives by the sword and massacres everyone in his way to get his way. Pasuk Beis, Hinei Katon Nesaticha. Behold, I have made you very small, Bagoyim, among the nations. Which is interesting because Rome, of course, is not small among the nations. But the fact is that while Yitzchak called Esav his big son, his older son, and even Rivka called him her son Hagadol, we know in Parshas Toldos, but in my eyes, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is small. So, v'inei katonu saticho bagoyim, small in stature, in morality, in value, in worth, bozoi ata ma'od, you are very despised. And this is clearly a reason why it had to be a son of Edom who would be able to say such things. Rashi says, Rome never had its own language. It learned the language of other nations, and others wrote their books for them. If you think about the gods of Rome, all of them are just recycled Greek gods under new names. That's not the sign of a very creative nation. And not only that, but you're despised, says Radak, none of the nations are going to care if you get destroyed. When the Roman Empire finally fell, it was almost like a shrug collectively from the rest of the world. Oh, the Goths took over Rome. And so the empire had become so big it was ungovernable, and the Romans had long since ceased to be any kind of moral paragons. Gimel Zedon Libacha Hishiecha. The wickedness of your heart enticed you to open your mouth, says Radak, against Yaakov, your brother. To Ma'ari Cross says, to sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shochni Bechag Veselam, Arom Shivto. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, you hide in these niches in the rock. And Rashi says that you relied on the fact that you came from Avraham and Yitzchak as your only values. You yourself have not done anything to really advance your personality or your worthiness to be emulated. And Merom Shifto, whose habitation is high, Omer Belibo, he says to himself, Mi Yorideni Aretz, who's going to bring me down to the earth? Which the Kokiva Otzem Yadi of it, of course, is very much characteristic of the great and aggrandized Roman Empire. Nobody could ever defeat us. Any parallels to America in today's world, when we are tottering a little bit, maybe should be noted. But we lived up on Har Seir thinking that we're impregnable, and of course we are not.